Those that were here earlier at 6:30 for our prayer meeting, just your attendance alone is a big encouragement to me personally. So thank you for your faithfulness. Searching the scriptures are, I guess, springboard verses are John 5:39 and 46, that the Lord said, "Search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me." And then he mentioned 46, John 5:46, about the importance of Moses and how Moses spoke of him. And then, of course, Luke 24, verses 25 through 27. I just think it's a unique aspect that two guys on the road to Emmaus discussing current events. And they're confused a little bit. And basically, the Lord got annoyed with him for being confused, because it was right there in the Bible all the time that the Lord is going to come and die and then rise again. So he corrected them and then gave him a wonderful Bible lesson. And as I've mentioned before, I'll say it again, I would love to hear what that Bible lesson was about and how lengthy it was. Because the Lord opened the scriptures and basically taught him about himself. And in this, that's what we're doing. Searching the scriptures means we're going back to the Old Testament. We're still in the book of Numbers, and we'll go there in just a moment. First, let's pray. Father, thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you for those joining us online. Father, thank you most of all for the Word of God. I pray your Holy Spirit help us to be submissive vessels, to soak in the Word of God, to enjoy seeing things about you, including the message tonight. Bless our service. May it bring honor and glory to you now and at the judgment seat of Christ. For we pray in Christ's name and amen. Thank you. Be seated, please. So think about the beginning of the book of Numbers. When they started out, it had a lot to do about them leaving Egypt and on their way to the promised land, and the Lord told them how wonderful it was. And so as it starts out, Israel has great possibilities. But then along the way, things change. The first, I guess, 7 or 8, maybe even up to chapter 10, the first chapters are basically about tabernacle worship. Who's going to do what? What the priests would do, the singers, etc., how they would conduct themselves. But when you get to chapter 11, all of a sudden you get the revelation of a lot of griping and complaining. And it really annoyed the Lord. So even Moses started complaining about how heavy the burden was. And the Lord helped him with those 70 elders to share some of the challenge. We get a little bit further, chapter 13. Moses sent out the 12 spies. The idea was kind of like reconnaissance, to go see what it was and where. It wasn't to cause them any other consternation. It's like, here's what God gave us to do. Let's do it. Well, 10 of those guys said, "Oh, man, there's giants in the land. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. Man, we can't do that." And then you got Caleb and Joshua say, "Oh, yes, we can. It's just like the Lord said, a land of milk and honey, and with God's blessings, yeah, we can go do it." And so that discouraging report discouraged the rest of the Israelites. And the Lord said, "You're so full of concern about your children and care for them. They're going to go in, but you're not. You're going to die." So for 40 years, they just kept having funerals. And the people that were adults over the age of 20, you know, that last 40 years probably was pretty rough. When we get over to chapter 16, which is where we were last week, you've got Korah and Dathan and Abiram leading another revolt. Now, right before that, his own brother, Moses' brother and sister, revolted. They said, "You know, God hasn't just led you. We're going to get in on this." it looks like Miriam was the instigator because the Lord struck her down with leprosy. And then Moses interceded and asked the Lord to heal her, and you know, he did. But then right after that, these three guys, they said, well, you take too much on yourself. We can do it too. We can lead. So they basically rebelled against the leadership of Moses. Now, one of the things they seem to have forgotten that the Lord had to teach them was Moses didn't really volunteer for that. God chose him and made him the leader. So these guys thought, well, I'm just as good as Moses. You know, in some concerns, they were. They were just as good as Moses, but not in the calling. The calling made the difference. God chose Moses. That settles it. You don't have to question it. Just follow along. So here comes Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and their leadership rubbed off on other people, and there's 250 that we know of that joined in the revolt. So Moses talked to God about it. Then he says, okay, here's the deal. Let's all meet at the tabernacle. If God's chosen you guys and you live to die a natural life, then God didn't choose me. But if God chose me, you're going to die. And the ground opens up. And basically, it's like they drop straight into hell and their possessions and everything else. Now, you'd think that would put the fear of God in Israel. I would think so. I mean, if you knew about that, wouldn't you want to say, oh, boy, we better get this thing right? But they got mad at Moses and blamed Moses for the rebels dying. So this is what it's like to be a spiritual leader. Not everybody's behind you, patting you on the back, saying, boy, you're doing a great job. We really love you. No, it's usually just the opposite. We're questioning about how you're doing your job. Now, when you get down to Numbers 11 through 20, basically, the children of Israel, they lost their opportunity to possess the land. And again, they end up dying. So from the heights of marching into the promised land, the people fall to the depths of dying in the desert. Pretty sad. So we're not going to go there tonight. But the Lord told Moses what to do about the rock. Said, speak to the rock. Moses had a temper too. And he smote the rock. The Lord said, I didn't tell you to smite the rock. I told you to speak to the rock. So you're not going into the promised land either. And neither did Aaron. So God sometimes is very severe about following his directions. And you and I should be very cautious that we don't do something stupid and then blame God for it. So let's go to the introduction part of this. Going to Numbers chapter 17, it's only 13 verses. So God commands Moses to collect 12 staffs, one from each tribe, Israel's leader. Aaron's was representing the tribe of Levi. Now the whole purpose of this and the directions is to quell this rebellious murmurings and a directive that Moses executes by placing them in the tabernacle. So he wants to do what God says and see how the Lord works this thing out. So the next day, Moses goes in to the tabernacle to check out on these 12 rods. And Aaron's, his staff, budded. Now, it's a stick or a rod about this long or so. It's hard to tell how long that had been cut and how long it had been used as a staff. But all of a sudden, this dead staff begins to bud and blossom and bear almonds. And it's unique that it's almonds. So he basically said, okay, Israel, you see this? We use the 12 tribes. One is blessed and following me as my leader. And so it's to support Moses. And, of course, Aaron's rod budded. So let's look at the outline. Several things to give you. Number one is the command to collect. So the first thing we notice, there's these contentious complaints from the people, and they prompt the challenge. So you see this in Numbers 17, 1 and 2, the first part of verse 2. So the Lord spake to Moses, saying, speak, children of Israel. I know they're rebellious, but I'm going to give them a chance. So he said, call for the clan's chieftains to bring a rod. So all the 12 did. Take every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, of all the princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. So that's pretty clear. They all understood. This is the format. Now, they may have not understood, well, why 12? Why don't we use two apiece instead of one apiece? Because God said, just get one from each tribe. That settles it. You don't have to argue about everything. Just do what God says to do. Very simple. So they needed to coerce the names, and they decided to put Aaron's name for the one from the Levites. Verse 3, and thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, for one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And then collect all the 12 rods, place them inside the tabernacle. When you want to follow God's leadership, it's always through the local church. Remember in the prayer letter we just heard, Brother Richard said that EL had come to his house and invited their family to church. So he goes in, he gets saved. I think he's a teenager at the time, if I remember right. Then eventually Gay gets saved there. They both get baptized there. And then God calls them to the mission field, and they're sent out from Hillcrest there. Everything was in the local church. So that's the way it's supposed to be for God's children. So they go to the tabernacle. Verse 4 says, and thou shalt lay him up in the tabernacle congregation before the testimony where I will meet with you. The best place to meet with God is in a local church like ours. You know I can worship God out in the forest and on the lake. Well, that's not God's program. God's program, be in church. It's very simple, not too complicated. Let's go to the second thing, the covenant confirmed. So God gave the conditions. The conditions that were established was God promised to cause the chosen rod to sprout. And it came to pass that the man's rod, whom I shall choose, shall blossom. Now, again, see what God is emphasizing. It's not your choice. It's my choice. And I choose, you're going to see, basically, Moses and Aaron. So the complaints cease. Last part of verse 5, God puts an end to the grumbling, which is against Moses and Aaron, and I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. It's like they thought God didn't hear them. You know, I can grumble and gripe and complain, you know, to my family, to my friend, and it doesn't bother anybody. It bothered the Lord. So you see, conveying the command, Moses relays the instructions. That's verse 6. So in verse 6, Moses spake unto the children of Israel. Every one of the princes gave him a rod apiece, for each prince one, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. So they're complying with God's command. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. The tribal leaders, they deliver their rods to Moses. And you see, again, we just read that in verse 6. So there was careful placement. Moses deposited those rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. Roman numeral 3 in your notes, we get to the conclusive confirmation. So we had a curious morning. The next day, Moses goes into the tabernacle. You see that the first part of verse 8. Came to pass on the morrow, Moses went in to the tabernacle of witness. There was a conspicuous sign. Aaron's rod has miraculously sprouted buds, blossoms, and ripe almonds. Think about what they saw that day. I mean, all of them put a dead rod into Moses' security, I guess you could call it. Moses takes care of it the way God tells him to. So comes time to check the next day. I would have loved to have seen what their reaction was. Yeah. What about my rod, says Reuben's crowd, or Simeon's crowd, or, you know, some from Dathan's family. And they said, nah, behold, the rod of Aaron of the house of Levi is budded and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. So this was the convincing evidence. Moses presents all the rods to the people to witness God's choice. That takes us to verse 9. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked, and every man took his rod. I imagine that was quite an eye-opener, especially for the proud ones and those who wanted to gripe and rebel against God's plan. God says, here you go. This is my plan. Not only are we seeing some buds, but man, we've got almonds coming out of this thing. So it's unique about the almonds. I'll get to that in just a little bit. So let's go to number 4, the conserving of the commemoration. So conservation command, God instructs Moses to place Aaron's rod before the Ark of the Covenant permanently. So remember, they made that Ark in the Covenant. They put in there the Ten Commandments. Well, now they got a new addition. They got the rod of Aaron. That's in the first part of verse 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony. That testimony was that Ark of the Covenant. So the celebration halted. The rod is to serve as a sign to the rebels. Now, this is not just to be a blessing to the tribe of Levi and Moses and Aaron. He says in the last part of verse 10, it's to be kept as a token against the rebels. You know, did you ever have a token that caused you a little consternation to do right? Now, some of you probably had the same kind of discipline that I had in grade school and high school. The principal used something called a paddle. Did I ever have one used? Not in grade school. But something happened when I got over to junior high. For some reason, the principal thought I needed a little board of education called a paddling. We had this great big guy that taught science and chemistry and physics. I think he's a little devious, because the day he paddled me, he bragged about it. And boy, he laid the wood on me. And it was over something stupid. And we were at an assembly in the gym. After I got paddled, he sent me back over to the assembly. I'm not exaggerating. 20 minutes later, I'm sitting there in the assembly, and all of a sudden, my rear end started to heat up. I mean, it was heating up like he'd set me on fire. I didn't want another paddling from that guy, I guarantee you. So it was a token. That paddle's a token of correction. Well, this is a token. And basically that you rebels need to get your complaints crushed. Says they quite take away your murmurings from me. And he says, here's the substitute, that they die not. God could just as easily kill them as he did Dathan and the 250. But he didn't. He corrected with that rod. So technically, we could call it a rod of correction, I guess. The consummated duty, Moses faithfully obeys God's command. And there in Numbers 17:11 says, Moses did so. As the Lord commanded him, so did he. And then the fifth one is the concluding conviction. confession of condemnation. Now, look how the Israelites have changed their attitude. They're not griping and complaining about Moses. They're afraid they're going to die. So you see this in verses 12 and 13 in Numbers 17. And the children of Israel spake unto Moses, saying, behold, we die. We perish. We all perish. Now he's got their attention. Whosoever cometh anything near to the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. Shall we be consumed with dying? Now the Lord just said he wasn't going to kill him. But that rod of correction was to do the job. See what I've done? I verified that Moses is the leader from the tribe of Levi and his sidekick, Aaron. So get it in your hard head. Don't rebel. Just follow what I want you to do. So again, the conscious of consequences. Do right. All the time do right. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So I want to give you a little bit of other background besides just the information contained in that chapter. So the Hebrew word that you see here is called shaket, and it means almond or even almond tree. But here's the significance. Why almond? Why not a cherry tree? Peach, apple. You could make some kind of application, but the Lord decided it's going to be the almond because almond is a type of resurrection. So here's just some things you can look up. I left the link there for you. Almond trees, one of the earliest to awaken after winter, after blooming, while other trees still appear dormant. Now, when springtime comes, don't you like to see buds coming out? And, you know, wow, spring's here. Look at those buds. And it may be an apple tree or whatever, but you see some buds. Well, the almonds come out first. They had these white pink blossoms. They emerge before the leaves. So that's not uncommon. They're lighting up the hillsides in late January and February in the Levant. Now, if you don't know what the Levant is, that's a general term that people who know about the Middle East, they understand. It's that whole territory of what we call Palestine, Israel. It's called the Levant. The swift transition from blossom to fruit makes a natural emblem of vigilance and rapid fulfillment. So when the winter of circumstance seems endless, the almond invites faith. Okay, look, we're about over all the hard times of winter. Things are changing. God's word will blossom precisely on his timetable, just as the staff in the sanctuary testified day after day, Scripture continues to bear buds. This idea of the buds, the blossoms, the fruit, it's in the hearts of those who receive it. And so the Lord, again, is working, and it ought to be a spatial blessing. Now, in Numbers 17, all the way through a whole chapter, it's picturing the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why we're looking at it through Aaron's rod, which it was dead. Miraculously, it buds and blossoms, and that's a picture of the Lord Jesus because he died for our sins. The Bible calls him the rod of his strength. I'll show you that in just a moment. It came from a life that was seemingly dead, and now it's alive, just like the cross. And it brings forth life and authority, and it confirms God's chosen representative against all the other challenges. So the rod serves as a perpetual sign of divine authority, enduring of God's appointed priesthood, and it prevents further rebellion by its symbolic representation of the Lord Jesus, his power and blessing. Now, again, the rod is a symbol of Jesus' authority and priesthood. So let's look at the messianic connection. So again, this whole event in chapter 17, 13 verses, is a picture of Christ, the divine Son of God, like Aaron, chosen to serve God. This is God's choice. The Lord Jesus is his choice as the ultimate high priest. You can see that in Hebrews. God's choice of Aaron represented his ultimate choice of Christ to mediate between himself and humanity. Christ, after his death, was resurrection. His resurrection brought forth life for believers, just as Aaron's rod brought forth life from a dead branch. The budding itself signifies the miraculous spiritual rebirth and eternal life that Christ offers to those who are united with him. And then the last thing here is Jesus as the ultimate authority. So again, driving that home, this is God's choice. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. So the resurrected Christ, similarly, ultimate sign of God's authority, preventing any challenge to his divine right to rule over the faithful. He's the enduring proof that God's chosen one, he is the one who died but now lives and reigns in the midst of his people. Now, two verses to give you to go along with this. First is the rod of thy strength. That's found in Psalm 110, verse 2. The Lord shall send the rod of his strength out of Zion to rule in the midst of thine enemies. So the Lord will have a millennial reign as King of Kings. Now, one of the things to close it out with is John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus made it very clear. He's talking to Mary and Martha about their brother, and he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This is a blessed hope for every person in this room and watching us online. If you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you repent of your sins, you trust him as your Savior, he gives you eternal life, and you shall never perish. So he's the resurrection, the life. We ought to be the most thankful people on God's earth right now. Those people that were the children of Israel should have had better sense than to constantly complain and find fault. But they didn't. So God kept teaching them lessons. And this is a hard lesson that they hopefully learned for a little while. And we'll get into smiting the rock, Lord willing, next week. Like for every head bowed, every eye closed. So Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That means exactly what it says. If you want to have any hope for the future, it has to be you put your faith in Jesus Christ. He makes the way. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit convict any that are lost, comfort with these words of encouragement that you're the boss. You have a plan. All we have to do is listen to you and follow your guidance. Bless our church for your glory. Speak to hearts right now. We pray in Christ's name and amen.